I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. We're proud to bring you this show only on IRB English Radio. And of course, in the studio, as always, I have my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Dear Zainab, happy to be here.
I'm totally excited to have you with us again so we can continue our active discussion. So we've been talking on these last few episodes about the importance of spousal selection, obviously, and how it should be done at a very sooner time than we thought, because not only does it affect our life and the life of our families and the life of that guy or that girl and the life of their family, but the future generation and the society and the ecosystem and most probably the universe.
Palestine, remember.
And Palestine, especially Palestine. I mean, what if you marry someone who's like apolitical and they're like, oh no, Palestine's issue is complicated and it's political and we don't know what's going on behind closed doors and I don't support it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, get out of my house.
Exactly. You know, recently people have stopped saying this because I remember the issue of Palestine as long as I started to open my eyes and I started to recognize what is my left and right hand. But then back then people would say it's very complicated. You don't know what the inner story is. But these days people are becoming very, very uncomplicated. They're like, it's not complicated.
They're very transparent about
it.
They're
very transparent. Yeah.
Like, they're killing children. Genocide is genocide.
Exactly. And they're showing, there's this clip where this woman is in her kitchen and she's like working and she's so happy and she's cooking and baking. And then there's a bunch of Zionists behind the scene, and they're just taking the pots and pans and everything and all the ingredients for, you know, cooking. And then it moves to another place where the child is playing and she's smiling and they're just taking the pillows and the dolls and they're just moving everything from the house, right?
Right.
And they're saying that, look, it's as simple as that. They are living in their house. They are, and then the Zionists are removing, they're just kicking them out. And at the final scene of this movie, the father is very smiling, he's sitting at the porch, at the steps, and they just kick him out of the territory, right?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, that the point of mentioning that was that make sure your spouse is compatible with you in your worldview, in your faith, in your doctrine, in your system of logic and priority. All of these things matter. And this, at this moment, Palestine has something to do with everything. So we're talking about criteria that we should take into consideration when choosing a spouse, right?
Right. And the reason we mentioned Palestine, it again goes back to the first number one criterion in spouse selection, which is faith. And in faith, in the Quran, you read that oppressors are to be wiped out of the face of the earth and the oppressed are to be helped. Mm-hmm. And if you are just looking and gazing at the oppressed while things are happening, you're an oppressor yourself.
Yeah, you're supporting
So
that.
If you have this mentality, then everything would fall into pieces. Okay, now, then we can now move on to the part. So we have mentioned very practical points in spouse selection. Then let us take a leap.
Mm-hmm.
Let us take a jump to another phase. Close this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, our previous scene was about hygiene and detoxification of your body and nutrition. And then we closed that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We clicked on another file. We opened another file, which was spouse selection. Of course, all of these are
in the folder of
family,
yeah,
right, and Muslim lady. Of course, she's the pivotal element here, right? And so now we are going to open another another file, which is a self purification, spiritual purification,
mashallah,
right? We did mention some points in this regard. You remember we said that the noble Nabi, the noble messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him and his family, before the conception of Lady Fatima, for 40 days he went into seclusion, and then he received a special food from heaven, and then Fatima was conceived, right?
It shows how important nutrition is.
Exactly, exactly.
And how you have to make sure that the food that you eat is pure, because it literally affects that human which is conceived through you.
Exactly. We're going to have a chapter on that, about halal food. And then we did mention about the fact that there is a time of 40 days to 90 days of self-care and spiritual care, spiritual self-care, prior to the conception of the child. And the reason we said 90 days, because it's actually in the cycle of the production of the sperm, it takes 90 days for the whole cycle to happen once more.
Okay.
Right, because a single sperm doesn't take 90 days. It takes much, like a couple of days. But for the whole cycle to change, it's like it takes 90 days. And then, so there is... Previously, we talked, when we were talking about nutrition and detoxication, we basically mentioned points that a lady, that a Muslim lady should consider when she wants to detox, right? We're going to talk about shared spiritual points that both spouses should consider. One of them, and of course you have this 3-month span, like Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, preferably, right? So number one, having wudu all the time.
Yeah.
To be in a state of purity, right? Physical and spiritual purity. And you know that all these great saints whom we know, like Ayatollah Behjat or all the infallibles, the prophet, and all these good people who have been able to pave, you know, paths, they were constantly physically purified,
right,
through wudu. This is so important because it actually has the effect of taking away anxiety, stress, and giving you a kind of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. As you know that there is a strong stronghold, which is God. And in all the challenges and ups and downs of life, you can lean on a superb power, which is unlike any other source of help, and that is God. So no problem is big enough for you when you have God by your side, right? And then in freshening up your body, you know, this, the physical effects it has. This is a very big discussion, which now is not the time. But then it also takes away negative energy from you and gives you light. And they say, wudu on wudu is nurun ala nur, right? Mm. So we might not really be able to see it physically with our eyes, but it is light, right? And I really personally try to have wudu, you know, as I tried. I'm not a very, like, good of a person, but at least this one thing I try to have as much as I can, as long as I can. And it's like saying to God that from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, I am submissive to you. And I am
in your protection.
In your protection, right?
Beautiful.
Right. So that is why it gives you hope. It gives you peace, right? Okay, so number two is familiarity and constant friendship with the Qur'an.
Yeah.
It's a yeah, but how much do we actually practically spend time how much familiar are we with the Quran, really seriously, in our daily lives? Mm-hmm. I mean, we do say, yeah, it's really good, it's really important. But then everything else comes in, you know, priority. Then Quran is the last one, and you keep delaying it until, like, weeks go by, months go by, and you just, you know, you might hear some verses from the media or, you know, from some Instagram post or some the TV or something. But to reflect on it, one of the signs of a Shia, of a follower of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, is to recite 50 verses of the Quran every single day.
At least.
And I think the Ma'asumeen were able to finish one whole Quran,
Khatm,
every month.
Every three days,
they finish the whole Quran. Subhanallah.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
And I have no idea how they did it.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam would perform 1,000 units of prayer each night, and then he would finish the Quran from cover to cover every 3 days, and then he would plant palm trees, he would dig up wells, he would help the orphan, he would attend wars, he would be the best human being that ever lived in the history of human beings after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he governed a country, and he, I don't know how he did it. I'm pretty sure their time span was a little different than ours. I mean, he slept so little, and he literally did not eat at all.
You know, sometimes it's like going over the meanings in your head.
That's very important, right? Exactly, that's what I wanted to say too. Being familiar with the Holy Quran doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have it memorized, which I, again, the Ahlul Bayt had it memorized.
Exactly.
They could be like digging up a well and reciting the Quran. It doesn't necessarily mean that, or that you have to constantly read the Arabic, which can be tedious at times because you drift away. You don't understand what you're saying. Mm. It's an alien language to you. But being familiar with the concept, with the messages that the Quran is trying to put forth, right?
Mm.
With that sort of doctrine and worldview Allah is presenting you with through this book, being familiar with that is very important. And that can come to you through many means. Right. Reading the translation, reading the tafasir, knowing the sha'n, the reason of each revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That really helps with understanding and being familiar with the whole quote-unquote Quran
as
well.
I do agree with you. I do confirm what you said. In addition to that, I think it's a really good thing for every Muslim to know the Arabic language.
Yeah.
And the language of the Quran is not complicated
at all.
No, it's
not. At least try to understand 80% of it.
Yeah, you can. You're easily able to do that. If you put like a couple of hours a week, after 3 months or after 6 months, you'll be able to understand 80% of the meaning of the Quran.
Mm.
And I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
How come we spend so much time
on media?
On the media.
Instagram,
exactly.
Facebook.
This especially could be feasible or practical for a Muslim lady.
Right.
Because, you know, I've seen a lot of families that they have a whiteboard in their kitchen and that they have like, they write, and the mom of the house, the Muslim lady of the house, she does it and she like writes the, like, one verse of the Quran where like they can draw a beautiful message from it, and they talk about it over family time.
Mm.
Or as she's doing her work in the kitchen, or as they are like in the car, they can listen to the Quran. And nowadays, there are so many online courses that make
so many applications.
Exactly. There's no excuse anymore that I didn't have the time. It was Corona. Actually, the Corona has given many of us the chance to recline and just to, you know,
freed up our time so much.
Exactly.
All right. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you all for being with us. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the Love One?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return. La ilaha
The Quran. given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.